However, we are now coming to the educational portion of Satsang, the explication of Nisargadatta. Now you have to realize that ultimately all concepts are bullshit. They're intellectual constructs, and they're not a direct apprehension of reality or of your own true nature. But they're a set of concepts that are supposed to oppose your habitual way of looking at yourself and the world. Eventually, they become a quasi-belief system. And then eventually, you'll have a realization of what you really are and the nature of consciousness, which is different than the belief system that Nisargadatta is giving you. The concepts he gives, they are called pointers, at least that's the term, as opposed to a belief system. And yet most of the time, we accept it as an alternative belief system to explain what we see and understand in the nature of the world. But it's to get rid of our nature or our ideas of ourselves as being individual humans, as opposed to the one subjectivity, the Atman, the Parabrahman, God, so to speak, who sees through 100 billion eyes in 100 billion organisms, 100 billion pairs of skin or skin, worms, maggots, butterflies, birds, foxes, monkeys, humans, fish, all living and some breathing, all seeing, perceiving somehow through the sentient meatball that they are. Somehow consciousness has come into them, and with it a sense of individuality and self-preservation. Self-preservation is in all of us, from the worm that tries to escape you, to the fish that tries to escape you, to the cat that wants to cling to you, the lover that wants to cling to you, the guru who wants to cling to you, and you to him. So these are pointers. They're not the truth. The truth can only be directly perceived by you. And it has nothing to do with concepts. What happens is your identity changes. You no longer identify as Harold or Michael or Joan or Tim or Ed or Joe. Or Joanne, but you see yourself as knowledge itself. You see yourself as love itself. You change your identity. I am love. I am that I am. I am God. I am sentience itself. I am the center of the universe, as Buddha said, from the sky above to the earth below. I am the only one. Only one. Only one consciousness, only one sentience. Through 100 billion creatures. A trillion creatures. From amoeba and bacteria and viruses. Up to the highest life form, which is a street cat. And one of the best users of concepts is Nisargadatta. Nisargadatta met his teacher in 1936, had an awakening in 1939. Oh, he met him in 33, an awakening in 36. And then he wandered as a monk for 2 years in India before he returned home, knowing his beingness and his absolute nature was the same everywhere. Great, brilliant mind. Very Western thinker. he translated Advaita into something Americans like, Westerners like. Even the Neo-Advaitins look up to him as one of their luminaries. And this is going to be covered much more in detail in the last talk. But right now, I'm going to read from Prior to Consciousness, and at salient points, I'm going to explain it a little deeper. Yeah, I gotta go now. Bye, sweetie. I think I covered that one. This is September 11, 1980, Prior to Consciousness, page 49. Whether one be a Jnani or an ignorant person, his bodily nourishment, sustenance, maintenance, etc., etc., goes on through the meaning of the words of his mind. Get that? Either the sage, the enlightened man, and the ignorant person, they're all the same. They all have the same physical sustenance, and they all live by the words of the mind. His thoughts will also flow according to the impressions he has received since childhood. The activities came from the vital breath, the words, and the knowingness, I am. If you want to invoke your deity, you will have to worship that vital breath. Also known as Shakti. Through the vital breath, you approach the deity, your deity. The image of any god is given through the vital breath. The language of the light vital breath means words. When the aspects of the vital breath are purified, there is no scope for desires. There is no mental or physical sufferings. As per the command of the Guru, he said to me, hold on to the I amness, the Atman. I love. That's defined. I amness. He defines it. Atma Prem, as I love. I amness is the same as I love. All our activities, physical or spiritual, are based on emotion. All these details I accept. But I know that I know that the sum total is zero. Nothingness. All the details he accepts, physical, spiritual, are based on emotion. All these details I accept, but I know that the sum total is zero. My earlier talks, anybody could understand, and he'd be talking about the ones in I Am That in the 70s. To some extent. But my present talks are very difficult to understand. To become qualified to understand, stay put at the source of your birth. He talks about the I Amness, that it's a seed that exists within you when you're born, the body is born. And I Amness only begins to manifest itself when the sense of I is born, around age 2 or 3. Then it announces itself. So it's innate, or it's inherent in your beingness, but begins manifesting at age 2 or 3. And he wants you to get to that place before the I am announces itself, before the I am and expresses itself in words and self-consciousness. The talks are spontaneously flowing out. I am not framing them. I myself am almost often amazed as to why these types of profound expressions are emerging. And people who listen to my talks are also nonplussed because they are not able to frame any question based on my talks. Everything is spontaneous. The stage of witness also has come spontaneously. All my activities come out spontaneously. There is no scope for thinking. Since I know my state prior to birth, he means the absolute, the subjectivity before it's lit by consciousness or self-consciousness. Since I know my state prior to birth, I also know that birth point, and since the birth, whatever I am, my beingness, I also know. That's why I talk like this. The experiencer and the experiences, both are to be dissolved. The moment that translators come, I take my seat for talking. I am energized. My battery is charged. Otherwise, I am down and out and have to use this cane. I am least inclined to collect any spiritual seekers of any grade. And this is so true. Rajiv was talking to me the other day, and he said his satsang is growing in India. And he says, when he sits, a different voice and energy speaks through him. A power comes through him. And he's no longer Rajiv. He's a voice of consciousness. This is how I feel too. It's as if the Absolute is talking to the Absolute. Trying to get the Absolute in you to recognize who you really are, as opposed to who you think you are. September 15, 1980, page 51. In meditation, this questioner asks, in meditation I try to stabilize at the point behind the mind. There is darkness, nothing, blankness. I don't like this state. Maharaj says, don't you see? You are still there. Prior to stabilizing in the self, traces of the mind are still there. This machine is self-generating machine. When you go into that, momentum helps you clear all the doubts in your mind. This is exclusively your knowledge, which we'll enjoy most, and then all traces of the mind are completely uprooted. This is the stage where you are. You are not. That is the borderline. The moment you know you are, duality is there. In other words, you know, at the age of 2 or 3, the self is born. The kid begins saying, I versus you. I want this. I. Self-consciousness has arisen. Before that, there's only awareness. There's not a duality. There's no longer I, a thou, then. But the consciousness begins to split up. An I am-ness is formed. A sense of I-ness is formed. The sense of me, as opposed to the other. A boundary is created. And he says he wants you to get to that place before the boundary is created. And that's what we're doing today in this retreat, is to get lower than the mind, lower than that sense of I, deeper than the sense of I am-ness. This is the stage where you are. You are not. That is the borderline. The moment you are, the moment you know you are, that is, that you exist, duality is there. When you do not know you are perfect. But you must go through this process. In deep sleep, you do not know you are, but that is a grosser state. In this alive state, you must recede into the state of no knowingness. What is this knowingness? It is the stamp or registration of the booking I am. You are a booking. You are booking a flat which is under construction. But where is that flat? It is only the booking. Similarly, the I am is only a booking. It represents your absolute state. I'm not quite clear what he's saying there. But he's appearing to be saying that the I am is sort of like the personal instantiation of the absolute subjectivity. When you look inside of yourself and you try to find an object that is I, the ego. There's nothing there. You're the subject. You can't find anything. But that doesn't mean that somebody can't talk about your personality and personality dynamics. Can't talk about ego and the developmental processes that the ego goes through, that a child goes through. It's very complex, the structure of the personality and how it functions. It has many, many different phases. As Maharaj put it sometimes, how can you talk about yourself as an object when you're more like the city of Calcutta? How do you describe it? How do you name it? It's very complex. He says, show me Calcutta. Of course you can't show him all of Calcutta, anybody all of Calcutta. Nor can you show anyone your objective view. It's an extraordinary structural complexity. There's unconscious process. There's conscious process. Freud's id. The archetypes mentioned by Jung. Existential crises. Developmental milestones that are missed. The inner child. So many different complex processes. All this is concepts, dreams that psychologists talk about. So you can never take out something and show it to the world and say, this is me. All it is ideas and processes that have become solidified inside of you. And when you see these are just empty concepts and empty processes, not empty processes, but crystallized processes. When you see through them, they no longer possess you. But later on, we're going to talk about after seeing through the illusion, the steps we have to take back into humanity and to being a human, all the different levels we have to work on ourselves after we have an awakening. There's a difference between awakening and full liberation. The questioner asks, what gives you the courage to transcend into the nothingness which you know is there? What gives you the courage to transcend into the nothingness which you know is there? Maharaj says, your deep urge to understand the self. Receding only means to go within. Your normal inclination is to come out through the five senses and see the world. Now I reverse. I am not the body. I am not the mind. I am not the senses. And now you are stabilized in consciousness. After stabilizing in consciousness, all further things will happen automatically. You will expand into the manifest. This is what happened to Robert. In a sense, it's what happened to me. Is as now we feel we're isolated to some entity within this body, consciousness or sentience within this body. But what happens when we see that the distinction between inner and outer is not real? The boundary, the skin between the inner and outer disappears. And there's only oneness. The unicity experiences. At Mount Baldy, I became the world in meditation. Nirvikalpa Samadhi. When I had my shower experience, I looked within and I found no one there. There was no I. There was no entity that the I pointed to. I was freed. I was emptiness. Emptiness manifesting with no central character. And the emptiness within is the same as the emptiness without. there's only oneness. This was the experience combined with the knowledge of oneness. This is awakening, or an awakening process, but it's certainly not the end. Suppose witnessing stops, he's asked. Is it samadhi? Maharaj, suppose you all go away. There is no more witnessing. I am still here, but I have nothing to witness. In that beingness, the otherliness is there and the witnessing takes place. If consciousness is not there, the absolute cannot know itself. There is nothing but the absolute, therefore there is no witnessing. My mind is getting tired. It's hard for me to think now. Hopefully it's hard for all of you to think.